Welcome to Sex Chat for Christian Wives,
where four marriage and sex bloggers
discuss the naked truth.
What does God really want for the sexual intimacy in our marriage?
I'm Jay Parker of Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
I'm Chris Taylor from The Forgiven Wife.
I'm Gay Christmas of Calm, Healthy, Sexy.
I'm Bonnie Burns of Oyster Bed 7. Exploring mismatched sex drives and how your marriage can thrive in spite of it. Before we get to that, let's just check in with our other ladies. Gay, what's new in your life this week?
What's new in my life this week is that I'm renewing my goal of relaxing more during the summer. So when my husband and I come home from work, we just come home from work and we start working. You know, we're doing stuff around the house, we're doing stuff in the yard, I'm cooking dinner, I'm working on my blog, whatever. And so I said to him, you know, in the summer, 2 days a week, we ought to come home from work and not work like slaves until we go to bed. Like, we should sit down and have a glass of wine, have a chat. We should just eat and say, okay, I'm just going to read a book or I'm just going to watch something on TV rather than just working all the time. So we'll see.
That's a great strategy. So what's up with you, Jay?
Actually, this past week, I guess the exciting thing going on in my world is that my family, we started Marvel Avengers Week. And we're kind of superhero fans. And we watched three of the movies. We've been watching one most nights. We're going to watch one here in a little bit. And so we are about halfway through the 13 Marvel Avenger movies.
Fun.
Next 13. Up is Iron Man 3.
Good.
Those sound fun.
What's up with you, Chris?
Well, I have been busy launching a new business.
Yay!
I hope it's yay. I am going to be doing writing coaching and editing for Christian writers, mostly for bloggers. We'll see how that goes. So there I am. Oh, here's my little plug since it's free for me, lifespringwriting.com.
Yay.
That's my first commercial.
Awesome. Check it out.
I really feel like listeners need to know that you actually spent years and years teaching writing
and editing
students. And so you have a long background in this as well as being a successful blogger yourself.
A successful?
Successful.
Yes, I'm a successful blogger.
Successful.
I can write it, but I can't speak it.
Yeah. Will you edit my bad wording?
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing this week is getting that all launched.
Wonderful.
So, Bonnie, what are you doing this week?
This week's been spent doing a lot of schoolwork, but also I had the opportunity to watch my granddaughter for 24 hours. And let me tell you, she's 18 months old.
Oh.
And I'm 51, and I now know why I had my kids younger, you know, when I was a younger person, because it wore me out. She's a lot of fun. But you forget how quick they are to get into the medicine cabinet. And she's also like the same height as my dog right now. So she and he collide a lot. Anyways, it was fun, but tiring.
But, you know, taking care of a little kid reminds you of a season in your life when your sex drives were mismatched. Wasn't that a good segue?
What a segue! Yes! Woo, speaking of, yes. And that is exactly one of the reasons that marriages go into seasons of mismatched sex drive when you're exhausted from childcare or if you're still breastfeeding, hormonal birth control, if you're trying to not have any more children. What else can you girls think of that would create a mismatched season in marriage?
I think entire marriage is a mismatched season. I don't know that there's ever been any time in my marriage where my husband and I have had the same sex drive. I think it's flip-flopped. Right now we're in a season where I'm the higher drive. He's been higher drive for most of our marriage, but I think just the reason, the fact that we're two different people, that's a reason. I don't think we're ever going to be matched, but it's fun trying.
I think there's a lot of hormonal reasons, but not just for her. I think when I say hormonal reasons, you hear her, but I think there's just a lot of physiology that happens at different times, and those seasons don't always come together. I know, for instance, as men age, their testosterone levels can go down. So that can change some things, and you can just kind of go back and forth. We actually were matched, like, for the first year of our marriage. I don't remember there having to be any coordination, any negotiation. We just had sex, a lot of sex. And then we had kids and they killed it. No.
Yeah, I think the whole hormones, that not your own hormones, but hormones that you take, might be, women may not understand how much of an effect those can have. I didn't know that for a long time. And if I knew, when I stopped using hormonal birth control, I noticed a definite difference in my sex drive. And if I had known that earlier, I probably would not have taken them as long as I did, or would have at least investigated not taking them. So I think if women take hormones for birth control or for some medical reason, I think that can really have an effect, and maybe we don't realize how strong that can be.
Mm-hmm. I do know in my own marriage, the time when we were most mismatched really was right after the kids were born, because I had little to no sex drive. And I think there were three things happening there. There was the hormonal issues of just having given birth and things happening there. Exhaustion. I mean, it's just exhausting yeah. to raise infants and toddlers. It's physically demanding. And then sex is physically demanding, so that you feel like you don't have enough left. And then I also had some depression. I was dealing with pretty mild, but still postpartum depression.
When my kids were little, so we were matched for about the first 3 months we were married, and then I got pregnant. And we were unmatched then for about 20 more years. But within the last, 15, well, no, we've only been married 30 years. So within the last 10 years, it's been a lot better. And I say it's the last 2 years, we have been perfectly matched. But the second thing I was thinking of, Jay, is that when you have toddlers and they're touching you all the time, and you know, physical touch is not high on my love language list. I was overwhelmed with sensitization, if that makes sense. I just didn't want to be touched anymore.
I think a lot of what we're talking about is when somebody has a really low drive. But I think that it is true that you're probably rarely, if ever, going to have the same sex drive, the same level, because we just are different. There are different physiology happening. There's different seasons. You know, that season of raising my kids when I was stay-at-home mom for the first couple of years, my day looked extremely different from my husband's. And so he wasn't experiencing the same things. But I don't really think, I'm looking the rest of my marriage, and I don't expect us to ever be perfectly aligned. I don't think that that's abnormal. I think it's really only a problem if it's an extreme mismatch.
Right. And I think that's what I was getting at with this topic was the extreme the polarization, and how you can find hope in that, and how you can find resolution. What were you going to say, Chris?
Well, my sex drive was always very affected by stress. You know, the more stressed I was, the harder it was for me to want sex, and the harder it was for me to relax enough to enjoy it. So stress was a huge factor for me. Plus, I struggled with depression for a long time. But one of the things was that when our kids were little, it brought all sorts of relationship issues to the surface that I hadn't even realized were there. You know, all the things about how do we discipline our kids, and I always felt like I was trying to take care of everything, and that my husband never was. Well, really, it was because I was so controlling that we had relationship issues, and having children and being exhausted and stressed brought all of it right there. And so having relationship problems affected my stress drive a whole lot, too. Hmm. You know, Gary Thomas had a wonderful blog post today that he wrote to his younger self, thinking about the way his marriage was when his kids were young. And he said, trying to measure a wife's love and beauty when she's in the middle of taking care of children in that season of life is like trying to judge someone's appearance based on how they are in the middle of a marathon. That the way things are then, it's just a season. Things will change. And once the kids are gone, you know, then all of a sudden things can start to realign. And I think when you have kids, especially, you get so immersed in that experience of parenting, and it seems like it's going to last forever, and it doesn't.
Well, it's funny because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and she and I were talking about the empty nest years and how we're looking forward to that. And I started referring to it as the naked years because, because suddenly we'll be able to have some time, have some space that we didn't have while we were raising children. I'm not saying we're going to be constantly having sex, but I'm saying there's just sort of this freedom that we'll be able to have some relaxation in those moments. We
you
hope.
Nikki days.
Yeah, yeah, we could. I call it the braless years.
And every guy who's got a 16-year-old at home is like, all right, get through high school, out the door, out the door.
No, no, no.
So what do couples need to know about mismatched sex drives so they can work hard towards finding mutual agreement?
We need to understand that normal is not a perfect aligning of your sex drives.
Absolutely.
And so the problem becomes when you have an extreme issue, and that's what we do want to address because it needs to be addressed. That's an issue in a marriage.
Exactly. And you can work through it. No matter how polarized the mismatch may be, you can find a way to meet in the middle. And it's going to be unique for all your marriage. Your marriage is different from any other marriage. So there's not one size fits all solution. But yeah.
Well, I mean, this is along the same line. But the thing I was thinking was there's nothing wrong with you and there's nothing wrong with your spouse. So if your drives are mismatched for a period of time or even for an extended period, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you, and it doesn't mean there's something wrong with your spouse. Now, there could be some things that have to be addressed, like depression or medication or marital conflict, but I think, you know, maybe the lower drive spouse might either think, what in the world is wrong with me? Or maybe they're thinking, what is wrong with my spouse that he, she, you know, is so, I just think it's helpful to realize there isn't anything wrong with either of you, but you have to work together in order to sort of resolve differences and to sort of smooth things out and to see how you can meet in the middle.
We had a lot of years where we thought we had a really extreme mismatch in sex drive. And it wasn't nearly as extreme as we thought. It's because we both thought that my sex drive should look exactly like my husband's did. And it doesn't. And it never will. It's different. What gets me interested in sex is different than what gets him interested in sex. And, you know, so many times I'll have husbands write to me and say, well, you know, my wife just has no sex drive. But when we dig into it, a lot of times it's she does have one. It's just it doesn't look like he thinks it's supposed to look. And so I think one of the times is even though there might really be a mismatch, sometimes it might not be as much of a mismatch as you think.
Mm-hmm. I think that we talk about sex drive. I think that there are a number of women, if you think about the gear shifts in your car, okay? If you think about it, like some women are in park or reverse, they're just completely disinterested. Or frankly, it can oftentimes be the husband. So whoever the lower drive person is. But we think about it as a drive. And I think maybe some people are actually, their libido is neutral, okay? It's not that you can't go places. It just needs a little push. You know what I'm saying? And then, I mean, then it shifts into gear. But
you need to press the choke a few times and then it'll be ready.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're not handling the clutch right. Get it going. But but I guess I'm just saying, like, we have this notion that you're supposed to have this drive, this desire. And a lot of times it's the desire is more about a response.
That's exactly right. And I was thinking we could insert right here that they could go listen to our sexual response episode.
Oh, yeah.
Our women's sexual response episode goes along well with what you're talking about, Jay.
Which is a 5 out of 5 stars.
Oh, awesome. And if you like it, please leave a review on iTunes for us.
Tell everyone how awesome we are. The other thing I really wanted to get at is that we tend to look at this as my drive and your drive. And what I try very hard to get people to understand is when it comes to sex, you are together in this. This is a we thing. So it just so happens that one of you is higher, one of you is lower, whoever that happens to be. But this is we have this to figure out together. And that's okay. It's a together problem.
It is a together problem. And that's an excellent point. How do you get a couple who's in that polarized spot to finally turn around and look at the other one with compassion and to say, this is a we problem. Because that's,
I think,
we just have to communicate. There's a lot of grace and trust that has to be given. So when your lower drive spouse says to you, listen, I love you enormously. I just don't happen to have this independent sexual desire that just kind of crops up out of nowhere. You got to believe they love you and they do want you. They want, you know, I think sometimes we presume too much. And so we need to trust each other about what our drives look like and be willing to ask questions. Well, what helps you get in the mood? What do you like? Whatever. And just have these open conversations and trust that the person is representing what really is true for them.
And I think that then each person has to be willing to say what is true for them. You have to ask, but you also have to be willing to say, you know, I used to think, well, my husband should know. You know, or haven't we discussed this before? He should just know so-and-so. Well, you just can't think that. I mean, you have to say, whether you're the higher drive or lower drive spouse, what you're thinking, what your needs are, what's important to you. And both people need to do that in order to be able to come closer to the middle.
And, you know, I've had so many people say, you know, she knows it's been a while. Why isn't she doing anything? Well, you know, if you're in a season of having a lower drive, it's just off the radar. And it doesn't mean you don't love your spouse. But if you're someone who has a higher drive and you experience that need, it's never a good idea to make assumptions about what the other person knows. I think too many times people will say, well, we just never have sex. I'm like, well, when's the last time you asked? Well, it's been a while.
Well, unfortunately, there was a time when even if he had asked, I wouldn't have given it much thought. And I know that's really bad, and that's just a confession. And I had to reach a point of compassion for him before grace entered my heart. And I'm not sure what the moment was that, you know, changed my heart. If it was realizing that he was struggling so badly with temptation because of my lack of meeting him in the bedroom, I think that was part of it. I just think God convicted me. I finally saw how much the rejection was killing him. And it was compassion that changed our bedroom.
That's my story, too. And for me, it was, I ended up on the forums at the marriage bed, and I read this thread by men and women whose husbands and wives had said no to sex a lot, and they talked about the emotional pain. And I think for so long, I hadn't realized that my husband experienced sex as an emotional thing. To see that, not just from my husband, but from so many husbands and wives, that really was what convicted me.
I think that this is a big issue, though, in terms of when you talk to a lower drive spouse, that you do make sure that you don't make it seem like something is wrong with you, like I'm okay and something is wrong with you. Because I also know that, especially I believe for lower drive husbands, they often already feel bad.
Yes.
They're well aware that they are not up to snuff according to their spouse. And so then when you come back and you say, well, you don't want sex very much, there's something wrong with you.
That does not help.
Piling on, you know? And so I think you just have to be able to invite the conversation and also ask questions that are more like, okay, so I know you don't have like a lot of interest. I'm wondering, like, what would help you get in the mood? When have you actually enjoyed this? Or when have you felt good about this? Or I don't know exactly how to phrase this. I do think that if my husband had come to me when things were not good and he had said, we need to deal with this. I want to walk alongside you and help you figure this out because I want to have an intimate marriage and I want that includes sex. And I would have said I'm completely overwhelmed. And then he probably would have helped me out with some more things. And actually this one's not his fault because I really feel like it's not fair to blame him. But I do kind of wish that we had been more informed that he could have said, you know what, I really think you need to talk to your doctor about your mood.
Well, I did have a husband who said you need to talk to a doctor about your mood because something's wrong with you. And he, you know, it was very difficult. And I've written about this on my blog that he basically told me that he would only go to counseling to help fix whatever was wrong with me.
Ouch!
Yeah, pretty much.
And your husband's such a great guy now.
He is. And I understand now that that was out of his own deep pain and frustration. I really do understand that now. But at the time, what I really needed from him was some emotional connection. And that was sort of the opposite of that. So it actually had a worse effect than he really wanted it to. And he did go talk to our pastor once and said, I don't know what to do. And basically the pastor just patted him on the back and, you know, there, I'm sorry, it's so hard. Here's a business card for a counselor she could go talk to. You know, even when people reach out for help, which I really realized that was very hard for my husband to do. When they reach out for help, sometimes they're not really getting anything good, even sadly from the church.
What I think it boils down to in finding some kind of resolution is setting aside your own preconceived notions. And I don't know if preconceived notions is the right term, but just getting outside of your own head to try to see it from their point of view.
I think the other thing, too, is some of this is I know how Gary Thomas's post I also read, which I thought was excellent, that was about sort of showing race to the lower drive spouse at the time that it's happening. And I think it's got to go both ways. And I absolutely believe that the lower drive spouse needs to really give thought to the physical and emotional needs that the higher drive spouse has. But the higher drive spouse sometimes, let me just say it in my usual Jay's blunt way, sometimes you got to suck it up. Okay. And just deal. Your spouse is just struggling in that moment and they need a little grace. They need a little space. They need you to be there for them in a different way. And then if you are there with them in that way, they're going to be more open to the things that you need. It's about selflessness. It's about Christ-like selflessness on both sides.
I would like to say something about men being less interested in sex than their wives. Because that is something that happens in a lot of marriages. Many times when men have a lower drive, not necessarily lower than their wives, but when they have a low drive and aren't interested in sex, many times it is related to medical issues, to low testosterone, unfortunately sometimes porn use, that sometimes those factors get in the way of husbands wanting to have sex with their wives. So I do think that sometimes, you know, we're talking a lot about women who are in a season of life with kids, but a lot of times there are husbands who are not in a bad season, but are just really struggling with some other issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that could be true on both sides. I've talked to a lot of middle-aged to older women whose middle-aged to older husbands, their sex drive has gone down. And when we talk about it, I honestly think one of the big issues is a lot of stress in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
They are sandwiched between taking care of maybe their parents or parent-in-laws and their kids. They're at a place in their job situation where they're not likely to be promoted much. They've kind of topped out. They're trying to earn enough money. They don't, you know, they're coming up upon the retirement of, well, what now? And I just think that's kind of a stressful time.
Yes, it is.
For a lot of men. And I think they get very caught up in all those issues. And meanwhile, their testosterone is coming down just a little bit. But those things all come together. And
right at the time when the wives have more time.
Yeah, right at the time that the wife is suddenly like, well, the kids are grown. Let's get
more flawless.
Naked years.
So let's assume that all of our listeners who are in a season of mismatched are going to make a real effort to meet each other in the bedroom, because we know that once they do, it just softens the edges off of life.
Yes.
And as you become a team and you're that we of marriage, you're not fighting against each other, you're fighting for your marriage. And so anyways, we're going to assume that you're going to take some steps. So let's go around the table and just give one piece of real practical advice for this man and woman who want to step towards each other.
My advice would be to not assume that the other person understands what you're thinking and feeling and experiencing.
I just like to say to pray about it. I mean, God says we can come to Him with any need. He already knows our needs, but just to go to Him in prayer and just lay it out before Him and help Him show you the path. Just pray about it.
I would say when you talk about it, and you should talk about it, don't make a bunch of statements about your side of the thing. Ask questions and listen so you can figure out how you can help your spouse and how you guys can come together.
I think yes, and be willing to see talking about it as a process don't be stupid like I was and see if you think that if you say something one time that your message has been heard. I think you have to view this as an ongoing conversation, not something that will be resolved quickly, but as a process that you can work together to make it happen.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all for your time, for listening, and we hope you have gleaned some information and can work towards building a better marriage bed.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Sex Chat for Christian Wives. We encourage you to check out our website at forchristianwives.com, where you can find show notes and links to resources. That's for forchristianwives.com. Also, if you enjoy our podcast, please take just a few minutes to leave a review on iTunes so that others can find the show. And tell a friend about us. Word of mouth is one of the best ways to reach out to new listeners. We appreciate you being with us today, and we pray that God blesses you this week as you pursue healthy and holy sexual intimacy in your marriage.